Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from the Expression House headquarters, Mokola, Ibadan. We bring people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us on site at Mokola, Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
Good to be back in the house this morning. Hallelujah. You know, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I forgot. Hallelujah. Praise God. The house of the Lord is where our lives are put in order. I'm going to show you that before I read my text this morning. We quote it often, but I want to show you. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Psalm 122. It said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why was he glad? Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. We that the tribes go up in Jerusalem, people go up. In the house of the Lord, we go up by revelation. According to Galatians 2:2. Can I have an amen? So when you come to the house of the Lord, even your level of revelation knowledge is supposed to go up if you're in the right church. Not just what you knew last year, what you knew 2 years ago. You should be knowing something more. Can I have an amen to that? Yeah. Revelation knowledge, not just head knowledge. It's in Jerusalem. He said, that's where the tribes go up. And I decree in the name of Jesus, nobody's going down. We that the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. We belong to those tribes, the tribes of the Lord. Unto the testimony of Israel. What for? To give thanks unto the name of the Lord. So the primary thing we do here is to give thanks. Don't come to the house of the Lord complaining. Everybody has issues. Don't celebrate your issues. What you celebrate multiplies. When they gave Jesus the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, did they complain? Oh, this is not enough? Ah, how can you give me five loaves and 2 fishes? Oh, God, we told you before. And you have about 20,000 people. When he took that, what did he do? He gave thanks. Thank God for the breath in your nostrils. I've not paid my school fees. I don't have money for my graduation. My friend, leave all of that at home. And if you take it to church, drop it at the gate. With no intention to pick it back after service. When you come to Jerusalem, you come to give thanks to the name of the Lord. That you are alive and well. And somebody say, what has God done for me? Why should I give thanks to God? After all, everybody's doing well. I'm the only one not doing well. Why are you the only one not doing well? Either you are a liar or God is a liar. Because I know that God is good to all. And I know according to the scriptures that his mercies are over all his works. Help me, Lord Jesus. I need to dig out that scripture. The Lord is in Psalms. The Lord is good to all and is in verse 9 of the chapter where you find it. Whether 125:9 or 127:9. Let me get it out. I'm not far from it. Is in verse 9. 145. And what verse is it? Verse 9. I got a verse. At least I got something. Because it's so ingrained in my spirit, I know the verse. Psalm 145 and verse 9, the choir. I love you, choir. You guys are spiritual. You see, it says, now the Lord is good to how many? Come on, talk to me, church. Does that include you? Are you part of all? So if you say God has not been good to me, somebody has lied. Either God has really not been good, or you have not been good. Because you have chosen to not see what the Lord is doing in your life. It's easier to see what God is doing in other people's lives and then ignore what he's doing in your life. Let me tell you something. God is working in everybody's life, including those who hate him. He causes his rain to fall on everybody. Have you ever seen on your street that the rain only fell on your house? It didn't fall on the house of other people because they don't care about God? Because they smoke weed? God is good to all. Some of you are Greek students, 400 level. You all have your farm. Some of your mates are cultists. Some of them smoke weed. And you all go to farm and you plant. But when you go back there, everybody's crop does well. At least it all germinates and then it all grows at the same time. Why can't God discriminate and say, no, only those who go to fellowship, only those who go to campus fellowship, their crops will do well. Those who don't go to fellowship, I will not cause it to grow. Somebody say, God is good to all. Say, that includes me. Look at the B part of it. And his tender mercies are over some of his works. Most of his works. Almost all of his works. Does that include you? Are you part of his works? Which means now, listen to me. God is good to you, and then his tender mercies are over your life. If not for his tender mercies, we would have been consumed. You better listen to Jeremiah. He was one that wrote the book of Lamentations in chapter 3 and verse 21. This I recall to mind, then I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. There are certain forces that want to consume us per second, per second. Per second, per second. They want to consume you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. They want you to disappear, diminish, be destroyed. That's what they want. They are out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But because there is something called the mercy of the Lord, it resists the destruction. It shields us from what we deserve. It is of the Lord's mercies. And that's Psalm 145 verse 9 says, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Therefore, you have no excuse to not give thanks to God daily. Every day, you get up from your bed and you put your legs on the floor of your room. The first thing that should come out of your mouth shouldn't be, oh no, why did I wake up in this country? The first thing that should come out of your mouth is, Father, I thank you. This is the day that you have made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. You are good to me. You are good to me, Lord, and your tender mercies are over me. Let that become your mantra. You don't have food to eat. Don't worry about that yet. You're alive. It is those who are alive that can go to the kitchen. You are not in the mortuary. Can I have an amen? The folks in the mortuary have become cadaver. They don't complain. They can't complain where you put them. Wherever you put them, that's where they will be. If you slap them, they can't fight. I remember one of my friends lost her dad. I was there in UCH that year. And they packed the body. They did what they called last office and packed the body. And then they were moving the body. As they were moving the body, the man's head hit the container where they put him. The body bag where they put him. His head turned and hit that thing. My friend screamed, you want to injure my daddy? I said, oh, no. Daddy can't feel it anymore. I said, that's not your dad. What do you mean? That's my dad. They want to injure my dad. I said, hey, come down, woman. Your dad is in heaven. He's a believer. He said, but whoa, why are they treating him like that? She almost wants to be going to the mortuary every day to go and check. Is my daddy fine? That's not your dad. Those folks can't complain. If they slap them 100 times, you troubled us when we were on the ward. Idiot. The guy can't complain. You have the breath of life and you are saying you have nothing. You are an ingrate. Are you getting what I'm saying? I have God's authority to call you an ingrate. If you're like that this morning, if that's the position of your heart, sometimes these things are not written on the face, but it's a position in your heart. We all owe God thanksgiving. We all owe him. We all owe him. We all owe him. We all owe him. We owe him. We owe him thanksgiving. Are you with me, church? That's why we come to church. David said, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. So when you come here, give him thanks. It's how we come into his gates. It is with thanksgiving. And then we enter into his inner court with praise. David further said, for there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. This is where we decree judgment over every wickedness and every evil work that Satan is trying to perpetrate. Are you getting what I'm saying? We say, no more! You can't go any further. And then we reclaim lost ground. This is where the thrones of judgment are set. Then he went further to say, you pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls. The word peace there is the word shalom. Shalom, shalom within our walls, expression house. And prosperity within our palaces, expression house. Can I get a better amen? Yeah. Because it will take prosperity to bring that thing from being picture to reality. For my brethren and my companions' sakes, I will now say peace be within thee. You should have friends in the church. My brethren and my companions' sakes. Church is supposed to be a family. When you are weak, somebody will strengthen you. Somebody will encourage you. Don't be a troglodyte. After service, I don't want to talk to nobody. I just want to go on my own. Come on, don't do that. Don't do that. The Bible, and the Bible is wiser than you. The Bible said two are better than one. Because when one falls, he has another to help him up. He said, no, I want to be on my own. I want to be a lone ranger. I want to be a solitudinarian. In the day when you need help and you don't get help, don't criticize the church because you have chosen to not be friends with anybody. You have chosen to not join a ministry. Nobody has it all. Sometimes a smile can go a long way. Sometimes a pat on the back, it is well, my sister. Sometimes people don't know what they are going, what you are going through. But just a pat on the back can make a whole lot of difference. They carried out a research in America. And this was published in the book, in a book written by that John Hagee, the pastor of Cornerstone Church in San Antonio, Texas. That Hagee has been around for a long time. John Hagee, he's been around for a long time. He's an old timer. So I love to listen to him. These are people who have walked the talk. They're not the motivational speakers we have now. Putting stuff together and blast out to no result. He said they carried out a research, and he mentioned the name of the university in America, where they found out that a touch can be therapeutic. A touch can be therapeutic. A touch can bring healing. What did they do? In the pediatric section of a particular hospital, I don't know whether it's Johns Hopkins or another hospital, they put some babies, like motherless babies in one corner, all of them orphans, the others, and another set in another corner. This was a research. So they didn't touch some of them. Then they were touching this other set. Every day they would go and touch them, rock them a little bit. You know, we'll rock you, rock you, rock you. They rock them. They discovered that these ones lived longer. They had more chances of survival than the other ones that didn't receive any touch. Do you realize that in Mark 16, 17, put that on the screen for me. The Lord Jesus said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Right? And they shall speak with new tongues. Go to the next verse. Quick. Next verse, please. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall pray for them. Did they put prayer? What did he say? What did the head of the church say? They shall lay hands on the sick. Without putting prayer, he said they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall. Is the head of the church right? Is either he's right or our own theology is right? But if he's the one that is right, then the theology we've been holding on to is wrong. Does it mean we shouldn't pray? No. The same head of the church say men ought always to pray and not faint in Luke 18 verse 1. But here, he said they shall lay hands on. So you can lay hands on somebody, just a friend, just anybody, and just by virtue of laying hands, they recover. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is part of what we get when we are in companionship. When we are brethren, how can I lay hands on you when you don't talk to me? I don't want you to sue me. I don't know. You were touching me inappropriately. Oh, I'm sorry. No, you'll be hearing from my lawyers. This was one of the things that COVID sought to achieve. Stay away. Don't hug anybody. Don't touch anybody. Move away. And people moved and moved. Families torn apart. And many died. During that COVID time, I said, in this church, I will pray and I will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And I am not going to catch COVID. If anybody brings COVID here, they will be healed. And God did. There was so much healing that people were getting healed online. Far away, United Kingdom, getting healed from our communion service here. It's unto you according to your faith. I've walked some walk with God that I don't listen to fables and some. I knew from the beginning that this thing is from hell. Separating families. My wife and I would go out to get some things in the market and we'll come back and the children would run. I trained my children as huggers. They are huggers like I am. They will run to come and hug us. We say, oh, no. Hold on. Let's go to the bathroom first to go and shower before we hug you. One day I said, no, this nonsense must stop. At least I'm not dead now. And I'm not planning to. I still have a very long time. Amen? Preaching the gospel. And you still have a very long time to fulfill whatever God's destiny is for you. Can I get an amen to that? These things are learned in the house of God. That's why we don't forsake our assembling together. Don't miss Bible study. Some of these things we go in depth in Bible study. Sunday morning, everybody's in a hurry. Everybody wants to go. Pastor preaches for too long. That's why I don't like. I like the church, but I come once in a while. If we get 2 hours of the dose of God's word on a Sunday morning and you are not coming during the week, is it too much? For the devils you have to face throughout the week. May God give us understanding. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Well, what I've shared with you is in line with what I'm sharing this morning. I'm talking about, I'm talking about Thanksgiving, but I've titled the message, The Valley of Baraka. The Valley of Baraka. B-E-R-A-C-H-A-R. The Valley of Baraka. Sorry, A-H, not A-R. B-E-R-A-C-H-A-H. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is going to be my main text. And I will derive points from it. And we will call it a day. And I would want you to go back on Spotify, AudioMark, and these podcast channels and listen again. Because even for me, I'm making this a lifestyle. Thanksgiving should be a lifestyle of the believer. The word Baraka is a Hebrew word that means the blessing. Somebody say the blessing. The blessing is a spiritual substance that comes from God. When it rests on your life, it produces blessings. Blessings. A child is a blessing. A house is a blessing. This new auditorium that we're believing God for is a blessing. Amen? Your education is a blessing. And so many good things that God can bring into your life. But there must be something that produces them. It is called the blessing. That was what the Bible was talking about in Proverbs 10:22. When it said, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrows to it. Now, if you read the Bible very well, especially even the Old Covenant, you would discover that God delights in blessing and blessing and blessing his people. He so much delights in it that he told Moses to tell Aaron, the high priest, that in Numbers chapter 6 from verse 25, this is the order in which I want him to bless my children. Can you put that on the screen for me, please? Numbers 6 and verse 25. Numbers 6, 25. Quick. You know I don't have much time, so I'm not talking about Rehoboam. Now, go back to verse 24. Go back to verse 24. Okay, go back to verse 23. Quick. Real quick. Thank you. Now, God says, speak to Aaron. God was talking to Moses here. He says, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise, that is, this is the manner, this is the pattern, this is the modus operandi, that you shall bless the children of Israel. I want you to bless them. I want you to beraka them. Is the word beraka, is also the word baraka, which means to bless. What does it mean to bless? To empower. God says, I love to empower my children to do well. I love to empower them to prosper. I love to empower them to excel. I want them to be blessed beyond the curse. God is a blesser. Any day, anytime. It's in his nature and character to bless his children, to make them go forward. God loves that. God loves our advancement. God is not averse to our advancement in life. Are you getting what I'm saying? One person. God said, this is how to do it. Saying unto them, when you say it, I will do it. So you say it. That's what God said. You say it. And if God said that years ago, he's still saying the same today. That's why I say, take your confession. You are blessing yourself when you say, my body, there is no room for sickness and disease in my body. You are blessing yourself and God is carrying it out. You say it, he's doing it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, God said, this is what I wanted to say. God gave him the words to say. God can be so precise. There are certain words to say. There are certain words to not say. They should never catch you dead saying, I'm a lucky guy. Lucky here. How? Have you ever found that in the Bible? Luck has no root in the Bible. It connects you to Lucifer. Luck and Lucifer from the same root word. They operate on the principle of gambling. Whether it goes right or it goes left. God doesn't deal like that. God deals straight. I will bless you. Not I may or might bless you. I will. So God said to him, these are the words to say. The Lord, capital L, little capital O-R-D. If you have it in the KJV, that's how you're going to find it, apart from the screen. That's the word Yad-Heh-Vav-Heh. That's the name that the Lord revealed to the Jews. That's the name of himself that he revealed to them. Yad-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is now, again, for interpretation, they call it Jehovah or Yahweh. They put the A and the E to make it pronounceable because it cannot normally be pronounced. He said, the Yad-Heh-Vav-Heh-Barakadi. One person said amen. Some of you have gone home. Are you with me this morning? This will change your life forever. So get it. And I want you to teach this to your own children so that blessing can go from generation to generation. I have always said to myself, I will be great. My children will be greater. Their children will be greater than them. It has to be that way. What is success without a successor? You're a great man. Your children are idiots. You are not really great. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Because you see, when he blesses you, you multiply. The blessing makes you rich and has no sorrows. But he also needs to keep you from those that will hate you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because when God begins to bless you, some people will start getting envious and jealous. And they will go ahead to attack. So may the Lord keep you. Did you hear what I said? I said, may the Lord keep you. May he keep you from the strife of tongues. When your life is nothing, nobody looks in your direction. They laugh at you. They want you to remain that way. But the moment you start making progress from one level to another, hey, hatred is going to come. Jealousy will come. Envy will come. It's normal within Adamic human nature. But I pray for you, Expression House. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he keep you from the strife of tongues. May he keep you from those who hate you. My Father and the Lord prays that for me often, and I'm praying it for you as well. We don't know those who hate us many times. They smile at us. They smile with us. Those who frown at us, we assume they're the ones that hate us. Some people frown because it's in their DNA to frown, not because they hate you. They may even be secretly praying for you. But the ones you assume that really love you, like Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus with a kiss. A kiss. I love you, Master. But he was a traitor at heart. I pray for you again. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May you not limit God with your small thinking. God told me years ago, and it's still fresh like yesterday. He said, if you think and consider what people would say and how they will react because of my blessing on your life, you will not attain to the fullness of the blessing. If you are bothered about the jealousy of people and about the comments they will make, when did he start ministry? When did he start his business? How come he's been so blessed? Why does he drive this kind of car? How come he has this kind of house? How come his students are doing well? How come? And then you allow that to get to you. And you say, Lord, let me please place more. Let me place more. Lord, just give me my daily bread. Let me just be comfortable. I don't want much. The reason God gives you excess is so that you can be a blessing to others. Are you getting what I'm saying? In Psalm 23, David said, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Why is it running over? So it can be a blessing to other people. God wants to bless you beyond you. So you can be the face of heaven to a dying world. My security guard at home had sugar 2 Sundays ago. 5th of October, I was meant to go to Isenyi NYC camp to go and preach. I couldn't go. Diabetes had consumed him. It looked like someone dealing with HIV. If I wasn't there when they ran the test initially, I would have thought he had HIV myself. Long story short, went to a very popular hospital to save their face. They said no bed space at the emergency. So we had to go to a private hospital. On getting to the private hospital, they came out to examine him in the car. And they called me to a corner and said, who is the next of kin? I said, well, nobody. He's a Hausa Fulani man. He's my security guard. But I'm going to be next of kin. All right. This is the bill. First bill to get him in is $170,500. Doesn't have a health insurance. Even if he has, how is he going to fund it? How much is his salary? Somebody earning $30,000 or $40,000 a month. $170,500. That's not the end of story. That's just to get him in, run a few tests, put him on their bed as their patient. We were there for 1 week. In the midst of a blaze, I was shuttling between hospital and church. That was why the 2 sessions I had guest ministers, the guest ministers arrived before me. Now, my protocol team would know that that's not my character. Each of those occasions, I was rushing from the hospital to church. In 1 week, that thing consumed $750,000. In 1 week. Paid by 3 of us. In 1 week. Imagine if there was no money. By the time we took him to the hospital, he wasn't conscious anymore. One of my neighbors that sat at the back of the car, I was in front. The guy driving us was supposed to take me to Isenyi. I had transferred money to him on Saturday night to put fuel in his car and whatever he wanted to do to take me to Isenyi to go and preach and to bring me back to Ibadan because I needed to have a meeting with the leaders towards Ablaze. It was the same guy I called at 5 a.m. when I was praying and the Spirit did not give me release to go. I said, Lord, the first time these NCCA people called me, this time, they've been calling me every time, but this time, I was the one that told them I wasn't available because I was ministering in Lagos. And they said, oh, Papa, don't worry. We're going to work with your time. I gave them a new date. I gave them. And they prepared for me. Why will I not go again? The Holy Spirit kept telling me, I just didn't have the release to travel. Why? I didn't know my security guard was dying. He would have died that day. Without any exaggeration. 5 a.m., I got down from my apartment, went to help my wife do a few things, and on my way back to my apartment, another neighbor who had woken up at about 3:30 when I woke up to pray, who was also praying, heard my voice and came out of her flat. And she said, "Pastor, no, you are not going up there. Pastor, we need to go and see this guy." I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "This guy, I don't even know if he's alive now." "What?" I said, "Okay, let me go and dress properly." So I rushed upstairs, got dressed, and then came downstairs. And then went to his small room, the security house. And we called him. The woman was walking Nicodemously behind me. Like, "Pastor, you go. You are the man." And I called the man. I called his name. The man didn't answer. I called him again. He didn't answer. I said, "Lazarus has to come forth." So I called him again. And then he answered, "Pastor, you won't go out?" I said, "No, you come out." So I had to call the security guard, the Uber guy that was meant to take me to his cell, to come to my house that time of the day, quite early. And the security at the main estate gate would not allow him in. I said, "Give them the phone, tell them you're coming to pastor's house." And the moment they heard my voice, they allowed him. I said, "There's an emergency here." So we prayed, those of us believers, we prayed first of all to stabilize him. The guy did not jack again, nothing. So we put him in the car. He could hardly even wear his own shorts. He was that weak, so weak he could hardly move. I said, "What?" I would have gone to Isai. I would have returned to see a dead man. And he's Hausa Fulani. How do you explain to his people that you didn't kill him? That it wasn't the food you gave him last night that killed him? How do you explain to a people that might not listen to you? The Lord saved us on all fronts. Moved him, packaged him into the car. My neighbor who sat beside him said, "This is your phone. Press your pin. So maybe we could reach some of his people." At this time, nobody except the agents that recruited him. And one of them was in Lekki. I don't know how I was going to make it to Ibadan. The guy didn't know his pin anymore. By the time we got to the hospital, he didn't know any of us. His eyes were open like this, and yet seeing nothing. In the rain that Sunday afternoon, 5th of October, I ran to a pharmacy across, you know where Foodco is at Idiakpe, to buy glucometer for the first time in my life. And they were, I said, "I don't know how to use it. Can you show me?" They showed me the strips and the glucometer where the blood would go to and all of that. Well, I wasn't going to use it, but I just wanted to have an idea. I don't like to be an idiot. Because Proverbs 19 verse 2 says, "For the soul to be without knowledge, it is not good." Amen? I always want to have knowledge. Hosea 4, 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." It's always good to have knowledge. When I took him back to the hospital and they did his test, it showed high. No value. The sugar gave no value. It just wrote high on the screen. The head nurse called me and said, "Pastor, come and see." High. No value. It was so high that the glucometer could not give a value to it. And there was no value until day 3. Of treatment, several shots of insulin. I ran to Kunliara in the rain. If you had seen your pastor that day, you'd have said, is this PFE? All of you came to church looking cute. I wasn't looking cute. 3 pints of blood went down the line. His PCV was 16% for a man. 16%. And by the time they ran all the tests, they said, "Pastor, the red blood cells are low, the white blood cells and the platelets. And the three shouldn't be low at the same time." Said, "So there's something we need to query. First of all, we need to call in an endocrinologist." I said, "Fine, I'd like to see an endocrinologist." And when he came, I spoke to him. Me too, I was saying some little biology that I knew. I said, "Okay, so is it type 2 or 3? In 1 week, 750,000 gone. That's 1 million minus the change of 250,000, which I did not calculate, all the logistics. God wants to bless you, give you extra, so you can be a blessing to others. Did you hear what I said? If I was so broke, I couldn't afford 50,000. The other neighbor was so broke, couldn't afford 100,000. The other neighbor was so broke. What do you think would have happened to him? It was a downward trend. The end was predictable. It took 3 days for him to even come round to be able to say, oh, pastor. Do you know how many people have died? Healthcare is very expensive in our country. By the way, I have a healthcare insurance person in the house. I'm hoping that someday she's going to talk to all of us about health insurance. We don't talk about it much in this country, but it might be useful on some occasions. Mirabel, stand, let them see you. People have died because of 20,000 naira. Needless death. Such things makes the heart of God bleed. You know why? Because God won't come down. He wants to put resources in the pockets of his children so they can represent him here on earth. Mr. Kunle Obasa would have missed being whoever he is today because his mother could not afford to pay 130 naira for WAEC, plus the 50 naira that they couldn't pay for mock. Does that not look like mockery now? The devil likes to mock the church. Are you getting what I'm saying? We're not talking prosperity in terms of materialism, material wealth. We're just gathering stuff. We're talking about what you need to represent the kingdom here on earth. Somebody paid for his work. He said that was the only opportunity to write. I said, no, you should have failed. And look for another opportunity. Do you fail in that kind of exam? Yes, sir. Only God knows how many times some of us wrote work and jam. Because there was somebody to go back to collect the money. Abi? When you know that after this one, shall local mechanic me straight. One negotiator. One no. Are you getting what I'm saying? Look at what God has made of his life today. So go back to my number six and verse 24 now. So God said, say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face. Go to the next verse. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. God wants his face to shine on you. Is he a good God? And be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon thee. What does it mean for the Lord to lift his light or to lift his countenance upon you? Imagine a little baby running towards you. What do you do? Pick them up. And what do? Lift them up. And usually, we lift them up above ourselves. Therefore, we have to lift our face. God wants to carry you like his baby and lift you up. So then, he will lift his countenance upon you. My baby! Now, I can't carry my children like that anymore. But there was a time I used to do that. I wouldn't throw them. I just carry them, lift them up. My baby! And they were green. You know that toothless green. I'm happy. The baby is happy. May the Lord make you happy. This is the kind of God that we serve. And he didn't stop there. He said, and give you peace. Ah, may you enjoy the peace of God. I was at an event yesterday, some three young people were discussing, two guys and a lady, and the two guys were pouncing hard on the lady. And they were telling the lady, what is more important than money? Money is everything in this life, everything. In fact, when you have any problem, money has solved 80% of it, blah, 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 blah. And the lady kept trying to convince them. It wasn't my conversation, it wasn't my business, I was on another table. But the Spirit of God in me would not allow me to keep quiet at the risk of being dishonored. I moved over to their table and said, guys, let me get into this conversation. And I think my voice commands some attention. So they looked at me and I said, she's right, you guys are wrong. Money is not everything. They looked at me like, I said, yeah, I understand that look. I said, money can buy you a water bed. A water bed is probably one of the most expensive kind of bed in the world. But money cannot buy you sleep. Have you ever suffered insomnia before? May you not suffer insomnia. Men, I've suffered in the hands of that devil. He's a wicked devil. When you are trying to sleep, I'm not saying you are trying to stay awake. You are trying to sleep. And you just cannot. What is that thing that money cannot buy? Peace. There are multi-billionaires with multi-billionaire level of troubles. They can't sleep more than 4 hours. That's if they get it. Even the 4 hours is with drugs. Someone has confessed to me before. In fact, more than one person. That they had to take alcohol before they sleep. Male and female. Well-meaning Christians who don't want to drink. But that's the only way I can sleep. As they know, that devil wants to damage your kidneys. And he has sold a lie to you to take those drugs or take alcohol so that you can sleep. Peace is absent in your mind. Alcohol cannot bring peace. Isaiah 26 verse 3 brings peace. For thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. The moment you're able to trust him and say, Lord, in your hands I lie down, you are going to sleep. I've been there. Almost 9 months of battle in the valley of insomnia. I'm talking about the valley of Beraka this morning, but I was in the valley of insomnia. I knew what time the families woke up in my house. I knew what time they had their morning devotion. I knew what time the dogs barked in the dead of the night. I knew what time the security guards of the estate were patrolling. The moment I heard the dogs barking, I knew it was 3 a.m. And it would be the time that the security would patrol. I knew what happened at 2:30. I knew what happened at 3:45. I could tell you what happened at 4:30 a.m. I was like a sparrow on the rooftop. Malo, molo, be a sparrow. You know when somebody lows, to malo. Every other person was sleeping. I would go to my son's room. I'll go to my daughter's room. Cute little girl. My wife sleeping. Everybody sleeping. Only me walking around from room to room as the chief security officer of my house. I will go to the kitchen. I'll be saying scriptures, quoting scriptures, and then praying. I will go to the store. I will quote scripture. No congregation. My congregation was yam and rice and gari. I'll preach to them. I was trying to sleep. One night, I engaged Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest of all the Psalms. I said, by the time I get to verse 100 and something, I will sleep off. I finished the whole psalm, no sleep. I didn't even yawn. Because if I yawned, that means there's a prospect that I'm going to sleep. I used to be I became grateful for yawning. No yawning. May the Lord give you peace. Do you know that you can have peace in the middle of the storm? Mark chapter 4, Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. A great storm arose. Baba was sleeping. They had to go and wake him up. Wake up! They told him, perish thou not that we perish? Who told you were perishing? And they were going to perish because that was their confession. Unless he stepped in. What are you saying in the middle of the storm? Master is sleeping. Why don't you just go and lie down beside him? Okay? If this thing drown, we drown together. That would have been the wisest thing to do if you couldn't rebuke the storm, because they didn't know they could rebuke the storm and speak to the sea. But the Savior is sleeping. Okay, we sleep together. So that when we are drowning, you know what to do. I don't know what to do, but Jesus knows what to do. The wisest thing in the world is to tag along with him that knows what to do. Did you hear what I said this morning? Now, having done all of that for you, you should have common sense to come back and give him thanks. It's in the human nature to forget. God does things for us and we act as though he hasn't done anything. I'm cutting off so many things, I'll just go to my point. But there was an account which we wanted to read. I've been trying to read it almost 1 hour now. 2 Chronicles 20. I'll summarize it. Jehoshaphat got a letter. I might have to continue this next Sunday, because I don't want to go beyond my time. I have 15, 16 minutes left. Jehoshaphat got a letter. Somebody say he got a letter. there were three nations that came together against him. Now, when we read these things on the surface, we don't get the essence. There is no man now. In those days, they used to go to war. You think war is an easy thing? Bring it to now. It's like getting a report from the doctors. The reason many Nigerians don't like to go to the hospital is not because they hate the hospital, but they are afraid of dying. A friend told me, the moment I know, he said, the moment he knows what the doctors are singing, he begins to die. So say, what you don't know cannot kill you. But you know that's not true. What you don't know can kill you faster. People have died of high blood pressure because they didn't even check their BP. He said, and nothing was wrong with him. Honestly, yesterday we still played basketball together. Ah, Baba don't get BP. He was already 250 over 185. All he needed to do was just hit something and fall down. Straight up. See, he was a healthy man. Very muscular. He doesn't respect muscle. Ignorance can kill. In fact, it kills faster than any other thing. Jehoshaphat got a report. And he was afraid. Let me show you that scripture. Verse 1. Oh, verse 3 now. Verse 1, yes. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other, there were others, beside the Ammonites. One thing was bad enough, the Ammonites. The Moabites were really terrible. The two of them were cousins. These were the product of incest. Moab and Ammon were the children produced by the daughters of Lot when they made their father drink alcohol. Because when you drink alcohol, your normal sense is suspended. It's when you can say, who is the noble? Who is the noble? I will slap his face. Who is he? Your sense is suspended. That's the president you want to slap? Your eyes will be opened by 2098. That's if you make it to slap him. You can't even make it to, but if you make it to slap him, you know that court case, they will just say, adjourned till December. Court, check the, when is court available? Check, clerk. The clerk will check. We are available December 2094. So that's when the court will be available. In other words, just take him to prison. Let him rot there. Available for what? For hearing. So if he's still alive that day, the judge there, when they check the records, we have a case for hearing. Then they will open hearing. And then they will adjourn. Because they won't finish it that day. Then when they call it continuation of hearing. Then when they come back, they will hear it small. Or the judge can say, I'm not in the mood today to do any hearing. I just want to settle minor issues. I'm not ready for hearing. So adjourn again till maybe 21 something. Ammon, Moab, and then others that joined them. And they came against Jehoshaphat to a battle. One person. Three nations against one. How powerful can you be? And these were a multitude. Verse 2. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat. There's always one person that will bring the news. Oga, I just make I tell you. Then tell me, say, that they come. There cometh a great multitude. Now, if it was a multitude, it was bad enough. There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, overseas, on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar. Look at where they were. The name is intimidating. Hazazon Tamar. Which is Engedi. A specific location. That's where they are right now, but they're coming. They are advancing towards you. Kutuba, 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 kutuba. We are going to finish Jehoshaphat and all his people. And Jehoshaphat smiled. Said, flip me some burgers and make me some shawarma and milkshake and parfait. It's a day to party. Was that what he said? What does the Bible say that Jehoshaphat did? Fear catch him. The Yorubas will say, when a child has not gotten to a place of fear, he will say, I'm not intimidated. I'm not intimidated. Bam, man. A whole king quivered. He shook. The news touched him. He feared. That's the normal, natural response to bad news. Oh, they didn't give you the admission. Sorry. Oh, gosh. Look, there's a competition. No. The department wants only 25 people. And as of the last that my auntie checked, there were about 250 applicants. So be praying, no? Pastor Fred, we have to pray. Oh. Only 25, they want you. 250. And all the 250 are qualified. Or maybe like me. The bill kept coming for a blaze, and I looked at the... I still checked this morning to be sure of what to tell you. On Sunday, the 20-something of September, the last Sunday of September, was that 28th or 29th? The last Sunday of September. 28th? Was it 28? I checked this morning. I checked for the bank balance. The balance of the 28th church account was 300 and something thousand naira. 300 and something thousand. What does that do? Maybe vellum for choir. And the devil said to me, in fact, he showed me a picture that you will give honorarium to your guest minister with handshake. You will shake hands with them and say, thank you very much for coming. God bless you, sir. Please accept us the way we are. We are not normally like this. But this year, for some reason, resources didn't come in. I said, no. It will never happen in this church. You better call this person, call that person. Time is going. Chairman was smiling at me. All the leaders, everyone's boiling. So we shake everyone. We shake them. Let's change. Let's change the. We'll twist the arm of God. We. Some said they will break the jugular of Satan. He's a spirit. He will be very happy when you say you break his jugular. He will be dancing to us. Oh, yeah. You want to break my jugular? Oh, yeah. It will inspire you to even sing more about him and take your eyes off the cross. What has been done? You're trying to do in the flesh. Say, well, okay, sir. Your emergency is not. Baba chilled. And the Bible says, one of the disciples told him, maybe Peter, how can you be saying that who touched you? You see a multitude like this thronging you. Everybody trying to touch you. He says, there was a different touch. And he looked around and saw the woman, and she was trembling. The Bible says she came and worshipped and told him how much of the truth? All the truth. You can put that on the screen for me, Mark chapter 5. All the truth. Can you guess how much time it will take to tell all the truth of an affliction that lasted 12 years? Here, affliction of 1 week, we struggle with you to share your testimony in 2 minutes. Paul, we stand on your neck. Oh, yeah. Tell us what the Lord has said. Tell us, go. Eh? What's the main point? Technical, turn off the mic. A 12-year affliction. Can you imagine how much time? Because she told him all the truth, including how she went from one physician to another, one hospital to another, and the different kinds of treatments she was exposed to, and how much she paid per hospital. Because the Bible says she had now become bankrupt. She had become broke. She had spent all that she had. She must be a woman of great substance. She had money to spend. She went to the specialist, the consultants. None of them could help for 12 years. And you think that's a 30-minute testimony? No, sir. You kidding me? How do you read your Bible? It took so much time that it covered the time, the little time the girl had left, and the girl died. That much time. Took so much time that she was still sharing testimony. When the people that were bringing the bad news got to where Jesus was and where Jairus was, she was still talking. Jairus, okay, don't bother the master again. Thy daughter has gone. And the moment he wanted to respond to a different flow, the fear flow, Jesus said, "Hey! Stop the fear. Only believe. Because when you came believing. And I was already following you. We are in the middle of the journey now. This is not the time and the place to give up. Don't respond to that flow. That flow, that fear flow, will connect you to death. It will connect you to Satan and his power. That's why Romans 8:15 says, we have not been given the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and orikipe, sound mind. Are you getting what I'm saying? So don't connect to that flow. Keep connecting to this faith flow. Because that's the dominion flow. Your emergency is not his emergency. So people giving God ultimatum, you are not ready to go with God. I will be honest with you. You are not ready to persevere. Thank God for that message last Sunday. But those who persevere, God never disappoints them. Jairus did persevere. I don't know if I could do that, man. Oh, yeah, I can do it by grace. Because by the time they eventually got to his house, the girl had actually died. But the master said, she's sleeping. Got everybody out. Those who were crying, who now started laughing. And then raised the girl. The man persevered all through until he got his miracle. May you get your miracle. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, my time is up. I have not preached 15% of my message. But I will go to the middle and almost go to the end. But I want to stop. Amen. Praise God. Amen. The spirit of the project of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Stand on your feet, everybody. Praise God. Are you happy? Have you been blessed? Did you learn anything? You know, God's word is so sweet that if I go the next 1 hour, do you know you're really going to be blessed? Yes, sir. You know you're going to enjoy it? Yes, sir. Because the word comes alive in this church. We thank God for his mercy and grace. Not because we are better than anybody, but mercy and grace. By God's grace, I will complete it next week. The Valley of Beraka. What happened at the Valley of Beraka? You can go ahead, read ahead of me, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, from verse 1 to the end. I will just bring out the points next week. That will make my job easier. Maybe I'll preach for 35 minutes. If you can go ahead, read ahead of me. So you get it as I bring it out. You get it as I bring it out. But the main thing that I want you to go home with today is that spirit of thanksgiving. You will see in that scripture, when you read it, when you get home and you read it, you should see, if you read very well and the Lord opens your eyes, it was not less than 4 times they worshiped God. Both before and after the miracle. Not less than 4 times. Even in the midst of trouble, they gave him thanks. Give him thanks always. It is the will of God. When they bring bad news, give God thanks. Not for the bad news. Thank you, Lord, for the bad news. No. For your victory over the bad news. Lord, you've gone ahead of me to fix this. Jesus died for this over 2,000 years ago, before this arose. So, Lord, I thank you. Amen. You live like that. I don't have food to eat. Father, I thank you because I have an appetite, I have a tummy, I have a mouth, and I thank you for the food that will come. Thank you for sound health. Oh, but I'm sick in my body. Thank you, Lord, for the body. The sickness is temporal and it has to go. It's a stranger and it must leave. Can I have an amen? And have a good job. Thank God for the small job you have. Be grateful for the little. Little is much when God is in it. The bigger one is still coming, but are you thankful? Thanksgiving. I will tell you what it means to God next week and how it pleases God and why it pleases God. Don't be ungrateful. Don't be ungrateful. It's one of the signs of the end of the age. People are going to become unthankful. They're going to become unholy. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy.
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible so that you can know Him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in Him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.